It's a strange word, you have to admit. The word imposition. Isn't it? Imposition? It doesn't sound like something that you would welcome. It's more like something that elbows you in the ribs and gets your attention, right? Imposition. I don't want to impose, but here's the interruption, right? It feels that way. Like a necessary thing, but still an imposition. Like my alarm clock was this morning at 4:50. 4:50, my alarm clock. Quite an imposition. But I woke up happily because I had to, well, I got to do drive-by ashes for folks coming to work. And I came to the church, and I set up a little tent outside, and it started raining on me like an imposition, right? But necessary, needed. I programmed the sign, the electric sign, to work on just one slide so that I could sit underneath it and do drive-by ashes, and the sign decided to quit working on me all during the day. An imposition. Maybe it's a sign, I thought and chuckled. Maybe I should relax a little bit, just let it happen. And then the first car that I had, I'll never forget, her name was Jeannie Adams. And I went to give her the imposition of ashes, and I said, Jeannie, the imposition of Adams. And then I thought, oh, no, it's the imposition of ashes. I'm sorry, you're Jamie Adams. I feel like my dad, who used to call me Rocky. Rocky was the dog's name. The imposition of Adams. But then I thought about that all day. The imposition of Adams. Adam in the Bible means human, the human, the first human. The imposition would be, you're going to die. That's the imposition. That's the thing that gets said, you know, when we give the imposition of ashes. From the dirt you came, from dust you came, and to dust you will return. That's what we say. And then a little bit later we had chapel with the children, and we tried to say something else besides you're going to die, because you come from the dirt, the ashes, and you will return. With the children, they're just like, oh, on my hand? Is it? You know, will it hurt? And oh, no, it's nice. And this is a sign of God's love, which it is. And we're drawing the cross. This is a sign of God's love. But it's an imposition of ashes, pointing to God's love, pointing to a cross, to death. And we are following Jesus up a hill to die. We are his followers, and we know that it doesn't end there. We know there's hope, and the cross, the ashes, the imposition also points to that hope, but it's a reminder. It's a wake-up call. It combats the original lie, you know, that's gotten into our bones and into our blood, the thing that we start kind of believing as we don't think about it. We're going to just keep on going, right? We don't need to slow down. We can be busy. And that original lie was this: you will not certainly die. The serpent said to the woman. Wonder why the serpent said that. You will not certainly die. And this, what we say over and over again with this imposition, it's the imposition of truth, right? It's the imposition that you're going to die. And that's not the end, but that's a part of the journey. Every single one of us have that in common. And so this is a time to remember that, and to remember how fragile we are, how precious we are. We're reminded of that over and over again. I think about the psalmist David who prayed this prayer, this really vivid prayer. He said, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Just a breath. And we start there. But we're also reminded, as we consider how fleeting our life is, how small, how tiny we are, that it's not about us at all. It's about God's love for us that's eternal. The great psalmist also would say this, looking at the stars. He said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? And he goes on to say, you've created us a little lower than the angels. What's the next slide? Yeah, you've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet. Seeing that you are dust, that you're fragile, that you're going to die someday. It's supposed to make us understand that we're taken care of in God's love. That it's not the end of the journey, but it's a part of it. So today, as we come for the imposition, this interruption, it's kind of a way to catch us where we are, to hold us there. To really, you know, sum that up, I go to this beautiful prayer poem for Lent by Ted Loader, and it really sums up a lot of what I'm trying to say here, just by asking God to catch me in my scurrying. Don't you like that word, scurrying? I find myself scurrying around the house, scurrying from here to there. It says, catch me in my anxious scurrying, Lord, and hold me in this Lenten season. Hold my feet to the fire of your grace and make me attentive to my mortality, that I may begin to die now to those things that keep me from living with you and with my neighbors on this earth, to grudges and indifference, to certainties that smother possibilities, to my fascination with false securities, to my addiction to sweatless dreams, to my arrogant insistence on how it has to be, to my corrosive fear of dying someday, which eats away at the wonder of living this day and the adventure of losing my life in order to find it in you. Catch me in my aimless scurrying, Lord, and hold me in this Lenten season, and hold my heart to the beat of your grace, and create in me a resting place, a kneeling place, a tiptoe place that I can recover from the dis-ease of my grandiosities and fill my mind and calendar with busy self-importance, that I may become vulnerable enough to dare intimacy with the familiar, to listen cup-eared for your summons, to watch squint-eyed for your crooked finger in the crying of a child, in the hunger of street people, in the fear of the contagion of terrorism in all people, in the rage of those oppressed because of sex or race, in the smoldering resentments of exploited third-world nations, in the sullen apathy of the poor and ghetto-strangled people, in my lonely doubt and limping ambivalence, and somehow, during this season of sacrifice, enable me to sacrifice time and possessions and securities to do something, something about what I see, something to turn the water of my words into the wine of will and risk, into the bread and blood and blisters, into the blessedness of deed, of a cross picked up, a Savior followed, and catch me in my mindless scurrying, Lord, and hold me in this Lent season, and hold my spirit to the beacon of your grace, and grant me light enough to walk boldly, to feel passionately, to love aggressively. Grant me peace enough to want more, to work for more, and to submit to nothing less, and to fear only you. Bequeath me not becalmed sails and premature benedictions. but breathe into me a torment, storm enough to make within myself and from myself something, something new and saving and true, a gladness of heart, a pitch for a song in the storm, a word of praise lived, a gratitude shared, a cross dared, and a joy received. In Jesus' name, amen.